welcome to another episode of From the Horse's Mouth with myself, Patrick Connelly, and our regular contributor, pundit, guest, tipster, Ruby Walsh. Ruby, you're joined this week by Frank Hickey after, to be fair to you and Frank, both napping winners again last week, which we enhanced in shops, by the way, for the loyal Paddy Power customers. Well done, Ruby. A nice little winning nap. What was it again?
Mount Ida, wasn't it?
It was indeed. And she sent off 9-4 or thereabouts.
What was it at the time of recording? I do believe.
Oh, good man. You're always good man for remembering the ones at the bigger time recording. So no pressure on for the first time in 2022. We welcome back Mr. Matt Chapman. Matt, how are you?
Yes, time to deliver the big gun once again here on the Paddy Power podcast. I can't wait. It's great to be back with Ruby. Happy New Year to him. And, you know, I think this year, Ruby's going to be nice to me.
I am. I'm going to remind you of the podcast's name. It's From the Horse's Mouth.
Straight away.
I mean, personally, I like to bring the words Paddy Power into it because I am a company man.
But that's very, very good of you. Very noble.
If you don't want to do that, Ruby, that's fine. That's up to you. I appreciate you're on so many podcasts these days that it's best that you use the specific name, not to get confused.
I'm actually only on one. But anyway, keep moving on.
Well, it lasted about 30 seconds, this niceness between the two of you. You're before you're already.
It was never going to last.
My memory of Christmas is this. Come on, Daddy. That's all I remember from Christmas.
It was very good. I like that footage. It was great to see the passion, wasn't it? You know, bit of passion behind the mic. Gentlemen, Matt, before we get stuck in, you had a good Christmas, you had a good New Year's? Things are good?
Yep, spanking. Hoping actually to take a few days away next week because I've got a few days off. Oh. And so whether my Christmas turns out to be a spanking Christmas will be decided by a laboratory in Reigate. On Friday, whether they decide to like my blood or not.
Okay. Well, a lot of labs are working very, very hard. I think the Grand Nationals should be double the prize money next year or next season and the Gold Cup, shouldn't it? Given that those lads are doing all that testing, aren't they? So, right, lads, let's get stuck into and I'm not going to say Super Saturday on this occasion, Ruby, because it is very much not a Super Saturday. January is a month.
Yes, it is.
Oh, you think so? Okay, fair enough.
Oh, come on. Every Saturday is a Super Saturday on the Paddy Power podcast.
I used to think, no, the podcast is, when we're talking about some of those races in Canton. But you're going to give us all the winners anyway, and we're going to kick off before we get to the ITB races. There is an intriguing race that will be live on Racing TV. Sorry, Matt. The 12:40 at Sandon. It's a listed mare's hurdle. There's a couple of very interesting Irish riders, including Willie Mullins saddling Galois and the ex-Willie Mullins trained Sky Ace, who one of the buys of the season, the century, essentially. She's already won her grade one for Current Connections. So Ruby, Galois, she goes over, and so does Paul Tennant.
Yeah, look, Galois hasn't run since she beat Global Equity at the Punchestown Festival. That was after chasing Sky Ace home in the grade one at Fairy House. Sky Ace held the upper hand on Galois that time, but Sky Ace has probably been a little bit out of form this year. She pulled up in the Galway Hurdle. She was last behind Queen's Brook then in Fairy House in early November and was just outclassed behind Honeysuckle in the Hatton's Grace. No shame in that. Dropped back down to what is definitely her own grade here. I was impressed with Martello Sky at Cheltenham when she beat Indefatigable. I thought she stayed really well. Aidan Coleman sent her for home pretty early on the new course, and Martello Sky galloped all the way to the line. She's rated £2 above Galois. She has got race fitness on her side, and it'll be an interesting matchup. But look, it's a race Willie's won in the past. Lorena won it. It was a match that day.
One of your better rides that day, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was top drawer on that occasion. but look, Galois, the filly we like, she's in great form, but she is taking on race fit rivals.
Yeah, just to give context there, Lorena won the race at 1-8 on that occasion and won it by nearly 50 lengths. Right, let's get stuck into some of the ITB racing. We'll start with the 150. It's a handicap chase to kick things off. It's head of the market at the time of recording by Gunsight Ridge in the Danny Waitley Silks. Already well back, 13-8 from 15-8. 4-1 for Numitour, 5-1 Moonlighter, 6-1 up the straight, and 8-1 the likes of Bundoran and Monsieur Lecoq. Welcome back to the podcast, Matt Chapman. Kick us off with a winner.
Well, no surprise, nothing changes from year to year. I'm going to start the podcast in a very boring vein because this is a very eminently easy race to win. And I think Gunsight Ridge really should have his day now. He's relatively lightly raced. He has got a win on the board. He's been knocking at the door recently. And with knocking at the door horses, usually you look elsewhere. You try and find something that might be just not quite so much in the grip of the handicapper. But being in the grip of the handicapper, that phrase only has relevance if there is something well handicapped in there. And I couldn't see anything in here that was going to be well handicapped against Gunsight Ridge. So when that's the case, you're just looking for a horse who's going to bring a level of form to the table. And I really did think that this horse did bring that for Ollie Murphy. Aidan Coleman's on board, which is a plus for me. Slightly down in trip from the last run. I expect him to win this race. I just think his current level of form is good enough to score.
It's not boring if it wins. Ruby Walsh, who are you on?
I'm going for Moonlighter. Was fifth in this race last year behind Iblio. Got dropped 3 pounds for that to a mark of 144. Came back in February then and beat Dolas. Rose back up to 147, which was its mark. Has had two disappointing runs behind Sky Pirate at the Cheltenham Festival and El Dorado Allen in the Halden Gold Cup. Then finished fifth behind Editar de Geet at Cheltenham on its last start in December. Ranged up, going to three out like it had a good chance. Got tired in the home straight. I'm thinking Nick Williams will have improved him since then. He's dropped back down from a mark of 144 to 141. We know he likes Sandown. I think he's on a very fair mark. I know he's a nine-year-old. He shouldn't be getting any better, but I think he's on a mark that he's more than capable of winning off. And I think it's Moonlighter for me.
Oh, Patrick, this is the problem with doing these podcasts with someone like Ruby Walsh. He just talks such a good story that you understand now that even when he was a lot on the best horse, he just intimidates you. And I'm already thinking, like, this Moonlighter, case, who I didn't fancy in the slightest in this race, I'm now thinking, Christ, Moonlighter. Anyway, on this occasion, I will be right.
Okay, you did make a very strong case, and we'll say if the two cases made, if you were both barristers up against each other, yeah, I would be siding with Mr. Walsh. But we'll see what happens in the first at Sandown Live on ITV, that is. The 225 is the feature race of the weekend. It's the Tolworth Hurdle. It's a grade one. And Constitution Hill was very eye-catching on his hurdling debut for Nicky Henderson in the Buckley Silks. We went, as in we being Paddy Power, 4-9 after declarations came through. Already he's been backed into 2-5. It's 7-1 for the very much improving Mr. Glass for Harry Cobson and Paul Nichols and the John Dan Silks. That's all right. Gino is 8-1. Then you can have J'Etoile for up-and-coming trainer Ryan Potter at 8-1 and 10-1. Shall We Have One More? And WizKid, a 50-1 poke. Okay, Ruby, Constitution Hill, any reason to oppose?
Unopposable in my book. I love what he did in Sandown the last day when he beat Might I, who I thought wasn't a bad horse, having watched him win at Newton Abbott. And I loved everything Constitution Hill did, the way he picked up, the way he jumped, the way he hit the line. I wouldn't oppose him. Would I back him at 2-5?
No.
Probably not. But no, I don't see that's all right. Gino, I thought, battled really well under Gavin Sheen to beat JPR1 at Cheltenham the last day. I haven't watched Mr. Glass, but his form isn't strong enough for me, so it's Constitution Hill.
And that's all right, Gino, to follow him home, potentially?
I'm not even sure he will. Maybe Mr. Glass will. Paul Nichols had plenty of options for him, and he's come here to run him in a grade one, so he generally doesn't do that for the day out.
That's fair enough. Mr. Chapman, Constitution Hill?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the forecast, because, I mean, Mr. Glass is a slightly strange runner in this, because he ran over 2.6 last time, extended 2.3 before, making all. So, I mean, in some ways, you set it up for Constitution Hill. But having said that, if you've got a 2.6 winner, you're not going to go for a sprint finish, are you? So you'd imagine Mr. Glass is going to bomb out in front here. But it only helps Constitution Hill. You can talk about tactics and all that kind of thing. At the end of the day, if this horse lives up to the reputation and also the impression he gave of a horse quickening up the Sandown Hill in terrible ground without the jockey asking the horse to quicken, which, I'm not a horsey person like Ruby is, but I know when a horse does things on its own without the jockey seemingly, I emphasize that because Ruby used to sit still and he would probably tell you he was doing lots of things that people like me couldn't even see that he was doing. But in general terms, when a horse sprints up the hill and the jockey's not moving, that's a good sign. And I actually had a quick chat with Michael Buckley 24 hours before we're doing this. And for lots of different reasons, which I'm going to write about at the weekend, this horse is going to mean a lot to him. It's a big horse. That just quickly broadening the conversation a little bit. Anti-Post, I can't really give much advice there either, because if he wins this, I don't think his price is going to collapse for the Supreme because it's already short. Is he going to? He'd probably go closer to joint favourite with John Bond, who's the stable companion, but he's not going to become favourite for the Supreme, even if he wins this by 20. So I can't even say back him now as the second favourite for the Supreme, or indeed back John Bond now if you think he might get beat, which I don't. So there's not really a betting angle in here. As Ruby often tells us, and we're all sensible enough with the world of gambling these days not to advise our listeners to do their conkers on every single race. Some races you can just watch and hope to see a really good horse. And in this occasion, that would be my advice. Just watch him and hope that you see something a bit special.
Can I ask a question? You probably put it to Michael Buckley. He did run in a point-to-point. I know he fell. Generally, that means if he runs in a point-to-point as a young horse, he's going to get a trip. Is it guaranteed he's going to go for Supreme, or could Nicky split them, John Bond and Supreme, and him and the Ballymore?
From what Buckers was saying, the Supreme is the target for his.
Okay.
I appreciate what you're saying, but that's what he said.
And he's paying the bills.
I mean, they're different owners, aren't they? At the end of the day, when it comes to Cheltenham, I mean, you only have to look at Ruby's boss. I mean, he's quite happy to run 3, 4, 5 in a race if they've got different owners, sometimes even if they've got the same owner. But, you know, it's McManus and Michael Buckley. They've both got 2 mile hurdlers. The fact they're in the same stable in many ways should be irrelevant. And I actually think respect to Nicky Henderson if they do both run, because as a trainer, the last thing you really want to do is to put two massive guns together. But at the end of the day, he's doing the right thing by the horse, and that's all we can ask.
Yeah, okay. Very interesting to see how he gets on. It's a fair point about what kind of a price collapse there would be were he to win the race, given he is 2-5 at the time of recording. So Constitution Hill to win, and maybe watch out for the forecast there from Ruby Walsh. And Matt did certainly agreed with it. We move on to the Veterans Chase, which we're all heading for ourselves, folks. Asso, whatever you want to call it, is the 11-4 favourite. Venetia Williams, of course, is on a roll at the moment. Final Nudge is 6-1, 7-1 Rolling Dylan, Wandering Star 8-1, 10-1 Sir Ivan, and the King's Writ, as well as Gwen Silly Burbus, ex-Irish trained Gwen Silly Burbus, and a few trainers. Indy 5 is 12s and 14s Bar. Matthew Chapman, this is the Veterans Chase, and we're going to go an extra place, so hopefully you'll find us a nice each-way price.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've tried to do. Look, Asso has an obvious chance as a horse who is, although he's old, he still retains plenty of ability. And he seems to have got slightly stronger in the stamina department as he gets older. But he's got top weight. I want to take him on. And I've gone with a horse who doesn't find winning that easy. But Rolling Dylan is an old horse who is in perfectly reasonable form after good placed runs at Sandown and Aintree. He's not the easiest horse to win on, but as an each-way price, I'm happy to play him each way and hope that Asso has an off day. The other thing Roland Dylan has is a lovely racing weight, 10 stone 5. That will do me. Roland Dylan, each way, Philip Hobbs, Micheál Nolan.
Very good. Ruby?
I'm going to go for Gwen Silly Burba. I thought it won well at Exeter on its last start when it beat the Late Legend. It's gone up £8 for that, but, you know, was definitely horse rated much higher in his pump than 132. And I think maybe getting his head back in front might have given him the confidence to go on from this. I always thought he was well handicapped. He was in the 120s. He's now at 132. And I think getting his head back in front could have done the world of good. So I'm going to go for Gwen Silly Burbe.
Okay, nice pronunciation there. I sound like a man who's about to head on holidays. I wouldn't know either. Yeah, he used to be trained by Alan Fleming in the Barry Connell Silks here. Now David Pipe already has got a tune out of him. That's an extra place race, folks, as well. So two each way picks from the lads. Moving on to the 3:35, the handicap hurdle to conclude the card over 2 miles. Hermes Boy for Chester and Jane Williams, the 2-1 favourite. Winner last night at 7-2. Mac the Man, Natural History is 9-2. Vodka or something along those lines, 6-1 Zambezi Fix, 8-1 and 10-1 Navajo Pass. Ruby Walsh, the last at Sandown.
Yeah, I can see why the Nick Williams horse's favourite, Hermes Boy. I was going to give one, not that obvious, a chance each way. I thought he was far too keen on his last start at Doncaster, and that's Natural History down at the bottom. I think if at Sandown switches off, Jamie Moore, Gary Moore, they have a good record in Sandown, and I thought Natural History maybe for me each way. I don't have prices, PK.
9-2 at the moment.
3-2. It's just about an each way price, but yeah. I'd go for him given that he settles a bit better.
I, Matt Chapman, seem to recall you napping Natural History before.
Yeah. And he was taken out at Sandown on the day that his owner had his birthday and his owner had another winner on the card. He's my cliff horse. Every time I'm on the pod, I will be tipping Natural History till he wins.
Oh, wow.
gradually, I mean, this is such a frustrating horse. Once owned by Her Majesty the Queen, has been rated miles higher than this. On flat ratings, should have 25 odd pounds in hand, or if it reversed its flat to its jumps rating. It's gradually falling down the weights because it's turned into a bit of a nutcase. Gary Moore, when he pulled it out, said the horse needs bottomless ground. It's meant to rain all day on Saturday at Sandown. It's actually not bad weather in the area leading up to Saturday, but Saturday it's meant to be pretty bad all day. So I'm hoping by 3:35 it will be bottomless, 10 stone, Jamie Moore, so good at Sandown on Gary Moore horses. But the horse is a nutter, and it just depends whether he's... I am so sure there's a big day in this horse, but whether I have any money left by the time he wins is a big question.
One nutter to another. Natural history.
Patrick, there is no... Where's HR? HR, I want HR.
Usually
I have them on speed dial calling me.
Natural history. Well, that's the first horse you've agreed on, gentlemen. So let's hope that goes very well in the 3:35. Let's go to Wincanton. We've got four races live on ITV on Saturday. We kick off with the 1:30. It's the first race live on ITV. The curiously titled Leona Mayer New House Celebration Handicap Hurdle. Maybe Matt can put some of the details into that one. I don't know what's going on there. Planned Paradise is the 4-1 joint favorite. Pittsburgh, been like Callisto's 5-1, as is Milado. And then it's Tens Bar. So it really is between the top four according to the betting. Matt, any idea? The Leona Mayer new house celebration?
I mean, I think she did get a new house, but I'm sure it's a fantastic bit of self-publicity.
Well done. Yeah. I don't remember getting a race title for getting a house, but anyway.
Patrick, you're still renting. Come on. Right. Look, this is one of the lowest grade. I'm not even sure how it's got onto ITV, this race. It's a really low grade handicap. I had very little opinion on who might win it, but I ended up, because I have to, tipping Noble Savage for Nigel Tristan Davis and Finn Lambert, who takes off a very valuable £10 because he rides for the stable. £10 is a big, big difference if you can get a rider who's got some ability, and Finn has. Noble's yet to win after 9 starts, but is relatively lightly raced, has got 2 relatively good seconds to his name at Wincanton and Lingfield, and a mark of 101 looks perfectly reasonable. Noble Savage each way in a desperate affair.
Yeah, class 5 race on ITV. It's not a Super Saturday, Ruby. Had you had a good look at the form of this one?
I did look at it, and a bit like an auto 95 in Ireland, I couldn't make head nor tail of it and gave up pretty quickly.
Let's move on to the 2-0. That's the difference, Matt. That's the difference between you and your Matt. I got it. I've contracted. I will give you Select Ruby Walsh. Not for me. Thank you very much. I only deal with the cream of the crop. I can understand, to be fair.
Patrick, we have to explain this to our listeners, though. This is the difference between a man who's bigger than the people who employ him, you see. So Ruby can basically say what he likes, and it does not matter.
Because you say what you like.
yeah. But then I disappear for a few weeks back.
Yeah, unfortunately, that does seem to happen. All right, the 2:05 we're catching is the next race we're going to look at a little bit better, this handicap chase. Heading the market at the time recording, Belle de Manech, or Manesh, is the 3-1 favourite. Casa Tall, 5-1. It's also 5-1 for Desk de Lille. Ned Fox claiming 10 for Venetia Williams there. 7-1 Grey Diamond tops the weights for Sam Thomas and Jack Tudor. It's then already backed another Crick, 15-2 from 10-1. And 10-1 Glaju for Paul Nicholls and Bryony Frost. Paul Nicholls' horse has been counted, always worth a second look. All right, Ruby, what's your fancy in this one?
Fancy the horse that runs here at Newbury the last day, and he was a bit disappointing. Maybe he wasn't behind Ian Rodotto, who went on to run in the Henry VIII the following week. And that's Grey Diamond. Jack Tudor takes 3 off his back, brings him back from the monster weight of 12-2 to 11-13. But I think he's down in grade, and I think that'll suit him. Sam Thomas had a super Christmas, and he won the Welsh National. And I'm hoping Grey Diamond can make amends for his defeat at Newbury.
Our own Grey Diamond, tips of Grey Diamond. Right, Matt, who do you fancy? I have to say, he's beaten me, Ruby, on the Greys anyway so far.
Number of calls you're going to get from HR after this is unbelievable. You can't.
Ruby Walsh doesn't mind.
You cannot say that to people anymore. Things like that. It's so greyest. Honestly, you will have social media will be going crazy as they watch this. I'm amazed that another Crick was ever 10 10 to 1. I've gone another crick each way here. Noah Williams and Tom O'Brien. Like Tom O'Brien as a jockey myself. Was a horse who's once been rated up to around 134, can race off 122, and is a horse who ran perfectly okay last time and is second run after a wind operation. If that wind operation has worked and the first run suggested it was okay, often they do go even better the second run. I thought he had every chance, so another crick.
Is that the exact, Alan King have that? Another crick?
Yes.
Before? Yeah, okay, yeah.
Once at the time, and now he's just too big for horses like this, isn't he? Now he's a Group 1 winning trainer.
Yeah, it's more flat man now than jumps, it seems. Right, we head to the 240 to an extra place race. It is the 240. It is a handicap, like all the races we encountered. Four's the field, lovely jubbly, crossing the bar. 4-1 favourite at the time of recording. Nicky Henderson saddles Blair Gowrie, I think is how you pronounce that, in the High Clear Silks, yet to win in four starts. James Bone will ride 5-1. 6-1 Apple Rock, that one for Ben Pauling. Earth Business for Colin Tizard is also 6-1. At 7-1 Mr. Sweets, 8-1 Get a Lead, and 10's Bar. Matt, you go first.
So this was quite an interesting, I thought, handicap hurdle, because you've got two at the top who are unexposed and lightly raced and could therefore improve. And then you had like the Apple horse, you know, horses who've got quite fair handicap form. And so you've got to decide, are you one of those people who like the solid form, just bring it to the table, or something that might just have a little bit in hand? And of the two at the top that might have a little bit in hand, I tended to go for Blair Gowrie of Nicky Henderson with James Bowen up. Just looking back to this horse earlier in its career, it cost quite a few quid. I think it was about 150 grand once upon a time. It runs off just a mark of 112. I honestly don't think Nicky Henderson is the kind of trainer who lays one out or anything like that. So I don't think it's chucked in because Hendo has got it well handicapped. At the moment, this is about as good as it is, but it's lightly raced. It looks like a horse who's got enough ability to at least win a race. And the trip was interesting, I thought, but at a tight track like Wincanton, I didn't think that the trip would be an excuse for this particular animal. So I've gone Blair Gowrie. I'm hoping he's got a bit more in him.
Blair Gowrie for Matt Ruby.
I'm going for Get a Lead each way. One over 2.5 here at Wincanton back in October, then went 2.3 at Warwick when it won again, all off marks of 107, 112, followed up at Ascot over 2 miles, 5.5. Then dropped back down to 2 miles and 3 furlongs at Taunton when it was up to 117 and didn't have the gears for Highway 102. Looked like being a bad sixth even going to the last, but rallied again to finish fourth. I think going up in triple suit, Get a Lead, 8-1 each way in what's a very open contest.
And an extra place, remember, as well. So keep an eye for Get a Lead and Blair Gowrie from the lads. Right, the last race we're going to look at from ITV is the 3:15 at Wincanton. It's another handicap chaser for 2.5 miles. Sam Thomas and Jack Tudor feature again, this time with Stolen Silver, the 15-8 favourite at the time recording. Montes Avalor for Paul Nichols and Bryony Frost, 11-4. Slade House, an interesting runner back over fences. He is 4-1. Killer Clown, 9-2. 13-2, Notre Paris. Is he with someone else before? I think he might have been. He's with Ollie Murphy now. He's 13-2 and 25-1 the Cahill Don. It's Ruby's turn.
Yeah, Stolen Silver is the obvious one. That's a cracking run behind Edda Tardigeat at Cheltenham in November. Was fourth then behind Edward Stone in the Henry VIII. As a novice, Jack Tudor claims the three off his back. He is the obvious one. Even with a small field, it is a competitive enough race. I think it's probably hard enough to fancy Slade House. I think he just seems to be going downwards and hasn't found his level yet, for whatever reason has gone wrong with him. And look, it's a pick, PK, because I don't know what it beats it, but Stolen Silver is the horse with the best form right at this minute in time.
You tipped up two horses trained by Sam Thomas. One's called Great Diamonds, the other's called Stolen Silver.
Yeah.
Something going on there, right? Matt Chapman, your thoughts?
He is the Bob Baffert of the podcast already. without drugs, of course.
It's about to say, it's quite the title you're giving them there now.
Yes. Now, it's not often that I've napped a horse who's been beaten 16 lengths, 64 lengths, 48 lengths and 35 lengths on its last four starts. But despite what Ruby says, I struggled for a nap this Saturday because Constitution Hill would be the obvious nap of the day. Yeah. But is no price. Gunsight Ridge was my other possibility, but he's quite short, really, in I think it's more competitive, his race, than a price of around 6-4, 13-8 suggests. So I ended up napping Slate House. And why did I end up napping him? Okay. So at face value, I've just ignored his form this season, which has been over hurdles, and he's back over fences here. Obviously, at face value, he looks like a horse who has completely lost his way after some wind surgery in November 2020. But he is back over fences. He's blinkers on first time. And he is, of course, absolutely chucked in on any of his old form. In a small field where I thought there were question marks over plenty of these, I thought, you know what? I'm going to give him one last chance. At the age of 10, which basically is 9, and you know he's only just turned 10, he should still have age on his side to be able to perform. He's chucking, blinkers on, tongue tie. If he's ever going to do anything, this is surely it. So Slate House, nap of the day, absolutely useless in every run this season.
The honourable gentleman has made the case for Slate House there with the beautiful finishing line, absolutely useless this season, but fair play. If he goes in, and there's pressure on the naps because they have been flying in. Last week, Ruby napped up Mount Ida, Frank Icky napped up Jungle Boogie. We doubled that in shops and boosted to 11-2. Lovely little from the horses made naps double. So Ruby, can you add a nice little nap to Slate House?
Yeah, I'm
going
to go at Moonlighter.
That is a big price.
It's worth a punt. We're winning on the naps at the minute, PK, so we'll roll up and see if we can get the lotto.
Yeah, fantastic. Listen, that's brilliant. I'm going to continue talking to Ruby Walsh about racing in Ireland, so I'm going to say goodbye to Matt Chapman, because it's been a long time since you're in Ireland. Have you even been watching Irish racing in the last 2 years, Matt Chapman? Do you know what's happening over here?
I'm just waiting for the contract to come back, Patrick, and then all hell will break loose and Ruby will be in misery. And
you think Irish racing might be back on Sky Sports Racing?
I mean, I would think it's almost certain one day, but when that is, who knows? I mean, on Sky Sports Racing, they talked about Newbury coming on board for years and years and years and years, and then about 10 years after that, finally Newbury has come on board. Nothing happens quickly, but obviously it's quite a tricky one to talk about with Ruby because he's a main part of Racing TV's coverage, and he's absolutely brilliant at it. But having said that, despite the brilliance of one or two people, I think most Irish people that I have ever spoken to, and obviously they're biased because you're speaking to them about something you were on, most of them did really enjoy At the Races, the old At the Races. You know, that's taking nothing against the what happens now, but I think it had a little niche and it was the biggest thing At the Races. That was the main difference. It was the biggest thing, and At the Races chucked everything at it. And I think people did appreciate that. But at the end of the day, as Ruby and I both know, as long as you can see the races, for most people, that is all that matters. Like, you know, as long as you can see the races. So as long as it's on somewhere, it's great. Obviously, from my point of view, I would love it to be back on Sky Sports Racing. Some others wouldn't. It's just the way it is. It's like it's you're what you're mixing it with.
Going to get consensus for sure. But if you ever want to watch any race in the UK or Ireland, all you have to do is log into your paddypower.com account and it's for free. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Very easy, simple. Click the buttons.
For a lot of people get, I won't say mistaken, that's the wrong word. I'm not going to accuse anybody of being mistaken, but the value in media rights money is not in the direct to home, which a lot of people seem to think it is. The money is in the LBO, the live betting office pictures, and all those streams that the apps use. That is where 96% of the media rights money is, which will tell you how small an audience, whatever channel you're playing it on, is actually the direct-to-home stuff. So all those deals, wherever it ends up, will be decided by where the real money is going, which is the betting shop pictures and the streams.
Yeah, Ruby's absolutely spot on there. It's like there's a lot more to it than people think. It's not like just people sat in a room saying, oh, which channel should we put it on? It's like it has to be value for whatever reason. The last deal, there were a lot of very personal grudges between certain companies that came to play. There will be less of those grudges now, and hopefully, you know, it would just be a case of, you know, as I say, at the end of the day, I would be biased. I'm sure Ruby would be biased.
Damn, I'm gonna bat for Racing TV. Matt's gonna bat for ATR. Or Sky Sports Racing, sorry to give it its correct title. But look, that's where it is. And the only thing I do know is that it's well out of both of our pay grades.
Well, one thing I know, as long as he was a willing participant, of course, is that wherever it goes, Ruby will be playing a part in it. So he's safe, whatever. because there would be no doubt that Sky Sports Racing would want to snap Ruby up.
Ruby's a very loyal man. He was at Racing TV before the Irish Racing was there.
Well, Gary O'Brien and Kevin O'Ryan were very loyal men to race Swapside.
Kevin O'Ryan, come on. Opening of a supermarket, that fella going to. Would you stop?
Yeah. Funny enough, actually, Patrick, I've got a bar mitzvah to do right now.
Listen, Matt, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again. Best luck with it. I'm going to keep Ruby on the line because, Ruby, there's a few horses I want to talk about this weekend.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, there's a few races to talk about. At Cork on Saturday. One Winnie Mullins runner, and that is adamantly chosen with Danny Mullins riding because Paul is elsewhere.
Yeah, Paul's at Sandown, so Danny Wright's adamantly chosen. He had a good run behind Gringo Dawbrell at Ferry House back in November. Got beat three parts of a length on that occasion, beaten even. Mm-hmm. And look, it doesn't have to improve much, I think, to win here. Obviously, Baranco of Crawford's, Stephen Crawford's, won a bumper at Hexham and sets, you know, looks like the main opposition, but I thought adamantly chosen would win the first maiden hurdle. In the second maiden hurdle at 1:38, it's 3 mile maiden hurdle. Fantasio Dallin will probably be favoured. Fell at Navan on his last start. Had finished second to Vanillier and Pure Genius last season. But I actually thought Chantreuse might give him plenty to do. Chantreuse was second to Mr. Fred Rogers in Ferry House back on the 14th of November. I thought he had a chance. And if Fantasio Dallin gets turned over, I thought Gordon could get consolation in the bumper with Scarlet Witch. In the Sunday race for the Sunday Racing Club, I thought Scarlet Witch ran well behind David Grace at Thurles, and a reproduction of that would nearly do, PK.
I'll give you one for that race. I don't often tip, but I, on breeding alone, think Henning would have a chance for Dennis Hogan. Henning, I don't know if he's a gelding or I haven't looked into that. Moskova, the dam. And obviously she was great. Once Paul Nolan might have trained her, and she's produced two bumper winners and two very good horses already. So went on to better things. So I'll keep
Rocking
an eye.
Gibraltar for us, a heavy ground bumper.
I didn't look that far, Ruby. Don't be silly. Yeah, I just looked at the dam.
That's fair enough. And the dam has more to do with it than the sire anyway. So
probably, So, and Harry Swan booked as well with Dennis Hogan training. Yeah, I thought could be worth a look in that race. Okay, Sunday, we're guessing, Ruby, because we are recording 2 days out, so we don't have declarations for Sunday's card affairs. But I did want to get your thoughts on hopeful runners from the William Mullins team. We do have the Dan and Joan Moore on the text. I only said the Dan Moore, but it's Dan and Joan Moore Memorial. Faye in the 1250, possible runner?
Possible. I thought White Pepper would give her most to do. I thought she ran well in Aintree, but I thought she was very good at Galway White Pepper. I don't think she was as good at Liverpool. I thought a reproduction of White Pepper's Galway run would nearly be good enough for her if she was declared in that. William Mullins does have Brooklyn Glory in the 1:20, and that's his only entry. I would be surprised if she didn't run, PK.
Yeah.
She won her bumper last year at Listowel, I think, from memory. She won first time up, she won a winner's bumper at Cork. Yeah. She was 4 to Grand Jury at the Dublin Racing Festival, and no match at Party Central then at Ferry House. But Brooklyn Glory for the Swords Bloodstock Limited, I thought she would be good enough to win that maiden hurdle. After that, then at 1:50 was
nothing in the 1:50, but one of your friends is in that race, Glenn Quincastle. Are you going to see him again?
Yeah, he's hard to oppose, but I thought Freewheeling Dylan off a mark of 113 over hurdles was absolutely chucked in, unseated in the cross country race in his last start. But if you think he won the Irish National off a mark of 137 over fences, he would look really well treated over hurdles. That's what caught my eye there. But obviously hard to oppose Glenn Quincastle. In the 220, which is the Dan and Joan Moore, Willie's going to run Black Bow. He hasn't run since he chased home Chantry House in the Marsh. bit hit and miss, Black Bow. Won well, forced them up and they beat N2Cast, fell then behind Franco de Port, didn't jump great behind Enagramine at Nace. Was no match with him then in the Arc at Leopardstown. But look, he's a rating of 151. He's not getting any younger and he'll definitely run his race. I found it hard to pick one here, to tell you the God honest truth. And I'm not going to oppose Black Bow because I simply can't find one to pick.
It's a fair drop in grade for him, though. Is it probably his handicap debut? It is,
back down to a handicap, but I thought, look, he's definitely, I just don't know, is he 151, is he well handicapped?
Yeah.
Looking at the race, it's hard to say what is well in there. I thought the Devil's Coachman might take the beating in the beginner's chase if he was declared. And
that's interesting because you have or Willie has El Barra and St. Sam in that.
I forgot St. Sam.
So, St. Sam talented.
Yeah, I just thought the Devil's Coachman ran a cracker behind Fernie Hollow and Cour Sublime at Punchestown. I thought that was the strongest form. That said, St. Sam obviously is a 4-year-old. The allowance is almost gone. He only gets £4 now with the turn of the year. He's a 5-year-old, of course, because he's not 4 any longer. But he would appreciate any rain that falls. He likes soft ground, a good forward going horse that jumps pretty well. I didn't fancy anything in the rated novice chase. And in the bumper, I think we had Greavy, who's a
Donchalon, Gravel, and Jackpot Lad, I think, are the three entered.
And I don't know which one is the most likely to line up.
I did say in the text, don't worry about the bumper, Ruby, because there's three in it.
Donchalant is the Charlotte Cuff, Greavy is the Muthamir, and what did you say the room was?
Jackpot Lad. Yeah, he's a Mallor. Out of Reach the Beach.
Reach the Beach, it's a homebred, I would think, is it?
You tell me.
Lad, Reach the Beach, was that?
I think it's Beach. Colin Motherway, C Motherway,
no,
Brother.
It's not a homebred. Yeah. So, Reach the Beach, Baller. I can't place Jackpot Lad.
That's fine. Mallor, sorry, he's going to win. Willie's been hiding Mallor from you.
I know the Mallor out of Reach the Beach. I can't. Just going to play some Chestnut. I think it's a Chestnut. I'm not sure, PK.
That's fair enough. And like I said, I did say in the text, there's three in it. We're not going to know what Willie's going to run. Willie probably doesn't know what he's running in the race at this stage. So whatever runs, keep an eye out for it in the bumper.
The bumper horses have been pretty hot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're going so well. Listen, Ruby, thanks a million. We will be in, well, I'll tell you what, you might be on your little hollybobs next week. Oh, maybe, maybe not. Who knows? But what I can tell you is, don't make kids listen to this podcast, by the way, Ruby. What I can tell you is we will be back next week with our first episode of our Festival Focus, looking ahead to Cheltenham. And also, we're still looking to get you on the pod. Yes, you, the loyal listener. So do email fthm@paddypower.com and you could be part of the next Punters panel. But we're going to have a special guest. We're going to start the road to Cheltenham, the Festival Focus, the path to Prestbury Park, the, I don't know what else we'll call it, something along those lines. And it starts next week. So listen out for that. And we're going to be early next week. Might be live in your inboxes on Tuesday. Do subscribe to the pod and you'll get all the details there. Ruby, have a great weekend.
And you, PK. Glad you're back. Hope the house warms up a bit.
It's very warm now. I've been sitting beside the heater now for the last hour. I'm absolutely roasting. So I am going to down a bit of gallon of water after this. Thanks very much. Have a great one. We'll talk to you next week, folks.